What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and in today's episode, we're going to talk about Trae Young's debut. We're going to talk about Julian Reese setting the Wizards franchise single game rookie record for offensive rebounds in a game. We're going to talk about the Wizards picking up a really big, monumental, some might say, tanking loss in the tank standings to the Utah Jazz. Honestly, if you had asked me, if I could plan out Trae Young's debut and give you a perfect outline of how it went from him playing pretty well, obviously shaking off some rust, to some other guys like Will Riley, Trey Johnson getting back on track, to Julian Reese nearly having a 2020 game, and the cherry on top, obviously, is the Wizards lost to the Utah Jazz. They're now 2.5 games clear of them in the tank standings in that fourth spot. For the fourth worst record in the league, which is incredibly good. I mean, this was a game that I thought was a win. I mean, Utah, second night of a back-to-back, they were without their top four scorers, rested Keontae George because it was the second of a back-to-back. And somehow, some way, the Washington Wizards pulled out a double-digit loss. And obviously, there's a lot to get to in this episode. Really excited to sort of break down Trae Young and his debut, what I liked, what I didn't like, and some other cool stuff from tonight. I do want to start with some injury updates because before we get into all the Trae Young stuff, the Wizards did offer two injury updates to some key players yesterday and today as well. We'll start with the earlier one, which is Keyshawn George has a UCL tear, a partial tear of his UCL on his left elbow. You probably hear that a lot in baseball, not a lot in basketball. Seemed like the injury happened in the third quarter of, I believe, against the Rockets. Key took a hard screen. Looked like he grabbed his elbow and didn't return to the game. He's going to miss at least 3 weeks with that UCL tear. Again, at that point, there will probably be around 10 games left for Washington. At a certain point, why bring him back? You've seen it the last 2 years with Bilal Coulibaly, where he gets injured towards the end of the year, and they just say, "Hey, we're not going to bring you back. There's really no point." And they eventually rule him out for the season. So, like, is Keyshawn George's sophomore campaign over? Maybe if it is, it was awesome. Pretty much 15, 5, and 5 improvements in every single category. Better shooter from the field, from 3-point range, from the free throw line. Became a sort of a floor general when he was asked to do so. Really good sophomore year. If that's the end of the season for Key, it was great. But he's out at least 3 weeks with that UCL tear. And then they also provided an update today about Anthony Davis. They said he did resume limited on-court basketball activities, but he's still out for a bit. He's going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks. At that point, when they reevaluate his status, the Wizards will have roughly 13 games or so remaining in the season. And it's the same thing with George. Like, you ask, well, why bring him back? There's, for a guy that's so injury-prone, he's under contract. Why are you rushing anything? And you want to lose as well. So I think Davis probably won't play for the team after the recent update. I'm sort of really close to saying that. And then George, maybe he comes back, maybe he doesn't. But 3 more weeks at that point where George will be out. So that's some injury updates. Now let's get into why you guys are actually clicking on this episode and watching or listening to it. And that's because Trae Young made his Wizards debut tonight against the Utah Jazz. Long-awaited debut. He had been out since December 27th with that quad contusion and that MCL sprain. Since he was traded to the Wizards, same injury designations, and had not played in the first 6 or so weeks since that trade. And now he makes his Wizards debut against the Utah Jazz, a debut that I honestly thought went about as expected. Shook off some early rust. He opened 1 of 4 in the game, missed his first 3 triples, but right away he got to the cup and scored a layup. I mean, my friend Ben Strober posted the video on X. I mean, the arena was pretty live. You saw it throughout warmups, introductions, etc. You saw Trae Young jerseys throughout the crowd, a mob surrounding him when he came to sign autographs pregame. Like, this fan base has been itching for a star player for years. I mean, I know a lot of people don't like to call Bradley Beal a star player. And so if you go based on that logic, they haven't had one like this since Russ, really. And there were no fans really during Russ's year. So since John. And so it's been a while since they've had this player that the fan base just just loves and is rallying around. And it's been a while since they've had a point guard that can be a floor general the way Trey can, dating back to Russ, of course, and John days. So you sort of saw that early. Trey scored early, missed a couple of his threes, but then finished four. I believe he made his one of his first four, and then went 3 of 5 the rest of the game, finished 4 of 9 from the field, 1 of 5 from three. Had some good looks from deep, just missed them. Again, if you want, there's obviously a lot of rust, right? There's a lot of rust. And if you want to know exactly how effective that is, Trey went 3 of 6 from the free throw line. This is like a career 90% free throw shooter. Like he rarely misses, if ever, from the line. And he went 50% on 6 attempts tonight. So it's just going to take him some time to get his legs under him. And I think, you know, it was 17 to 20 minutes in the minutes restriction. He played 19, so actually more than I thought. And obviously they said he wouldn't play the fourth at all. So I liked it the way they distributed his minutes. His first stint was 7.5 minutes. A second stint towards the end of the first half was 4.5 minutes. And then he played roughly 7 minutes after that. He did go to the locker room. He had an M13 out of halftime, got poked in the eye. So I think it was just a brief thing, but returned pretty quickly after and then played another 3 to 4 minutes before he got taken out for the game. Finished with 12 points, 6 assists on 4 of 9 from the field, 1 of 5 from three in just 19 minutes. Again, you can stare at his stats all you want. It's limited minutes. It's his first game in over 2 months. Like, you know, give him some time to get back into playing shape, to get back into the rhythm, the hang of things, obviously. But I really liked what I saw from Trey. Scoring wise, he obviously made a three. He can get to the rim. You don't really notice a lot of these things when he's playing with the Hawks because you just don't watch him that much, right? But under this microscope tonight, I noticed a couple things from him. Number one, his vision is insane. Pretty early in the game, he was at Washington's own 3-point line. And, you know, the Jazz did this a lot where they just pretty much like show two at him. And so they sort of cut him off and were like, you should pass the ball. Even in the backcourt, they did that. And from his own 3-point line, he threw an underhand pass to Leaky Black in the opposite side corner. It's an unbelievable pass that you might look and see and be like, oh, that was a routine play. No one could do that. It's very few people in the NBA that can make that pass. And that's routine for him. Didn't even look like he was trying. And it was pinpoint accuracy too. Leaky Black, I believe, made the three. You had a couple of nice passes to Trey Johnson for open triples, one in the far corner, and then one in transition that you'll see a lot where Trey sort of runs in front of Trey. It's both Trey's. Trey Young runs in front of Trey Johnson and sort of takes away the backpedaling defender. And so he just no look, just like in stride, drops a behind the back bounce pass to Trey Johnson for the easy walk-in triple that he drills. And by the way, Trey Johnson was awesome. We talked about how poor he'd been shooting the last 8 or so games since injury. We'll talk about him, believe me, but he was awesome tonight. I think he had 15 points in, again, limited minutes. But there's a couple of other passes that I want to explain from Trae Young. Because yes, the scoring was all right, but just the court vision, the ability to navigate the pick and roll was awesome. He had one pick and roll in the third quarter with Gil, where I thought he wrapped it around the guy to get it to Gil. He just waited and put it through the defender's legs. Perfect bounce pass to Gil, who ended up finishing through contact. He had a couple of other really nice plays as well. And the pick and roll is sort of where he's going to make his money. And tonight he looked great in it, operating with Julian Reese, who, by the way, man, I don't want to get it in now because there's going to be like 3 to 4 minutes where I'm just going to talk so highly about the way that Julian played. But Trae Young is navigating these pick and rolls with Reese, who's in his third NBA game, and Anthony Gill. And he's doing it well. He's finding them for open looks. Imagine he's doing that with Sarr and Anthony Davis. Like, imagine how elevated that will be. That offensive action, those pick and rolls will be when the bigs are as good as Anthony Davis and Alex Sarr. It's going to be really exciting. And to see him do it with the lineup they threw out there tonight is even better. And it just kind of showcases what you should come to expect with Trey. So overall, I liked what I saw from him. Again, you're not supposed to overreact either way. If he had 20 points, I'm sure a lot of people would overreact. And I'm sure some people are saying, well, he shot 1 of 5 from three, Greg, and you know, he had three turnovers, and it's just like, why are you excited about this? He also hasn't played since December 27th. Like, he hasn't played an NBA game in so long. It's his first time in this system, first time with these teammates. It takes a while to build chemistry. And despite all of those obstacles, he settled into the game. He clearly got better, got more comfortable as the game went on, shot the ball better and more efficiently, found his teammates more often in the second half. And you just saw everything sort of slowing down and getting back to the typical pace that it probably is at for a player that calculates things on offense as quickly as he does. So again, I enjoyed the stints from Trey. You'll probably see similar minute distributions for a bit while he returns. And again, the Wizards aren't in any rush to win. I doubt he'll play back-to-backs, whether it's the first or the second night that he misses. I doubt he would do that. And the Wizards would be smart to not have him do that. There's no point, right? But overall, I thought it was fun. Again, you'll see a lot of the coverage from people that were at the game, the videos that they posted. It seems like Wizards fans are just excited to have one of these guys now. And you know, it had been a minute. They had been really excited about these young rookies, right, and these second year players. But it just hits different when you have this big name star player that's putting on your team's jersey. Like that was weird. When I saw him in the Wizards jersey, it was still like, this is going to take some time to get used to. And it's still taking time to get used to. But again, I thought he showcased a lot of what makes him good, why the Wizards traded for him. And that playmaking was right at the forefront. I also thought it was funny how the Wizards brought him back. And I had a lot of people saying, Greg, why are the Wizards bringing him back now? Like, just wait one more game. You need to lose to the Utah Jazz. And I honestly, right hand up, I thought they would win this game too. They ended up losing by 10. But I think one of the reasons they did that is because, yes, he was healthy. And I think that being a home game was pretty, I think, big in the reason that he returned now. But, you know, the Wizards are clearly showing, like, they're not going to go full speed, massive tank to where you get called out by everyone on NBA Twitter, you get called out by the league, you get fined, bad reputation, whatever it is. But they're still going to tank. And they're just going to do it in their own ways to where you can't call them out and say, that's blatant, that's obvious, like the Jazz and like the Pacers had done. And tonight, again, they're doing it in like these creative ways. And I feel like no one else is really getting as excited as me for this, because like I know that these decisions are not solely Brian Keefe decisions. I know the starting five tonight was not just Brian Keefe saying, we want to start these guys. I'm sure Will Dawkins and other guys are dabbling in it. And I think it's so fun to see, like, it's backwards, but to see how creative the Wizards are getting, because they're doing it differently than some teams. They're doing it differently than they have done it in past years. And so this is something that I noted. Obviously, you had Trae Young back and limited minutes, but still a lot of firepower in that offensive lineup. Best player on the court by far. I believe the only all-star on the court at all. And obviously the Wizards fans are like, why are you bringing him back? And so the Wizards were like, hey, we'll counter that. And we'll make sure that the guys that we put out there in the starting lineup and other places, we'll make sure we throw some curveball in there too that you're not expecting. And then you get Leaky Black starting. And I'm sure a lot of Wizards fans haven't heard of him. I know him because I cover the team and I watch a lot of the NBA, but some Wizards fans probably saw him start and they were there for Trae Young and probably said, who is Leaky Black? And that's no disrespect to him, because he was just signed to a two-way deal. I followed the Capital City Go-Go. Again, I doubt most Wizards fans do, but he was really good for them this year. He had a good, solid run with the Hornets. And so I thought that was interesting to see, like, why is Leaky Black starting? That was really interesting, but like, low-key, Leaky Black was great. And a lot of people messaged me like, why are we starting Leaky Black? Leaky Black was good. He finished with 16 points on 5 of 12 in the field, not known for his 3-point shooting, but was not shy, made 4 of his 9 attempts. Again, I enjoyed the way he played. And typically you'll see Leaky Black take a couple shots, but really make his mark on the defensive end. And I thought he did that. But the offense was a welcome surprise. And so I thought it was interesting to see, like, the Wizards are bringing Trae Young back, but then they're making some really weird decisions with their starting lineup. I mean, Leaky Black was good, you know, and a lot of people were making fun of the lineup and saying, like, huh, this is the Wizards blatantly tanking. Leaky Black's an NBA player, and he's good, and he showcased it tonight. So I wanted to shout that out just because I knew a lot of people had mentioned it and were talking about it. Leaky Black was actually pretty good. Apart from that, I mean, again, I mentioned the Leaky Black strategy was interesting. Also, Justin Champagne didn't play. He's completely healthy, not listed on the injury report. just didn't play. And we've seen it a couple of times with JC over the past couple of weeks where it's clearly not merit based. Like, he's not getting benched. If they were trying to win this game, he would have played. But they clearly felt like, and that's a good thing to know, like, Justin's too good. And so, like, it's like you want your marquee players to be, you know, playing big minutes in big time matchups against contending teams. For the Wizards and the Jazz too, you want those types of players to not see the floor despite them being healthy and available in these big tanking games. So it's kind of a credit to Champagne where they're like, no, you're healthy, but we can't play you. And then Justin's like, well, why? And then the Wizards are like, well, you're too good. You're going to help us win. And that's basically how that conversation would have gone if it did go on. And I don't know if it did, but that's my imagination on how it went. But he didn't play as well. It was a hefty injury report for the Wizards. You know, obviously no AD, no Sar. D'Angelo Russell's not with the team. Whitmore's out for the year. But obviously, Keyshawn George will continue to miss time. Jameer Watkins was still out. Vucevic was still out. But Anthony Gill did return. So only seven players on that injury report. But again, I really enjoyed – I thought Leaky Black was good. But I thought it was fun to see sort of the strategy from – not just the Wiz, but from both teams in this game. Massive, massive, massive result in the tank standings. And like we do at every episode, I will close with the tank standings. I know a lot of people are probably eager to see it now, obviously, with the Wizards having a pretty big lead on Utah. Let's get to Julian Reese. I don't want to start this off by not talking about Julian Reese, by talking about someone else. But, like, Will Dawkins, are you kidding? Like, it gets to a point where, like, yes, you're in the honeymoon phase, sort of, and you're like, well, you know, they're not trying to win, and he's done all of these things well. He's drafted well. He's signed free agents to good contracts, like Marvin Bagley before they traded him, Justin Champagne as well. Trades, getting AD and Trae Young for the value he got, trading Daniel Gafford for basically Keyshawn George. You know, there's all of these good moves, and it's like at a certain point, can we just admit that Will Dawkins is really good at this thing called GMing? Like, he's really good at his job? Because it's one thing to be able to take Alex Saar at number two, who's the consensus number one prospect, and recline in your chair and say, I'm awesome, when he has the season he's had this year. That's what the Spurs GM has done, realistically, with a lot of the picks that he's made. But it's another thing to sign Champagne to that contract, to find him in the first place, but sign him to that deal. It's one thing to bring Marvin Bagley in. It's one thing to be able to trade off Johnny Davis and Bagley, take back Marcus Smart's contract in order to get the 18th pick, which turns into Will Riley because you trade back. And Will Riley is looking like he's one of the best rookies in the NBA this year. Like, all of those things are cool. It's a whole nother thing to, when you have an open two-way spot this late in the year, sign a guy like Julian Reese, who has not played an NBA game in his career at that point. And in his third NBA game, he has a near 20-20 game. 18 points, 20 rebounds. By the way, the most rebounds by a Wizards rookie, I believe, since Tom Gugliotta in 1993. For all my older Wizards fans, my dad's listening. I know he's brought up Tom Gugliotta in the past. I never saw him play, but clearly that's impressive, right? Because it's decades since that's happened for a Wizards rookie. Reese finished with 20 boards. More impressively, 10 of those were offensive. And we knew going in, if you watched him at Maryland, he has such a high motor, and he's always working on the glass. He makes his money on the glass. Like, that's how he operates. And he'll get you some points. He'll get you some putbacks. He'll set good screens, but he knows his role, and he plays it really well. And tonight was really cool for him. I mean, third NBA start, and you're putting up that type of stat line, 5 of 7 from the field, efficient at that. Made all 8 of his free throw attempts. I mean, just incredible. 18 points, 20 rebounds for Julian Reese. Was so active on the glass. The 10 offensive rebounds is a Wizards rookie franchise single game record. By the way, I think the Brendan Haywood and a couple other guys were tied with 8 for the longest time. And Brendan Haywood hasn't played in years for the Wizards. Decade, honestly, since he played. And Julian Reese comes in, and 3 games in, he's doing this. And a lot of people, the Julian Reese hype is big. Like, I tweeted out his stats, and, like, it's getting a lot of like, engagement. I didn't realize how big the Angel Reese fan base is. Because, like, it's a lot of it is Wizards fans that are excited, and some, I'm sure, are Maryland fans. But I would say 80% is Angel Reese fans that are just like, yeah, it runs in the family. And maybe it does because she's obviously a really, gifted rebounder as well. Now I'm not saying that Julian Reese is center one or center two next year, but like, I mean, you can't watch this kid play and say, yeah, he doesn't have a, this team doesn't have a spot for him. Like that's not, that can't compute for you if that's what you're thinking. Because if a guy can go out here in his third NBA game and get 18 points and 20 boards, there's a spot for him. Even if it's not on the Wizards, somewhere in this league, there's a spot for him. And it better be on the Wizards because they have the space. They have the two-way spots to do so. He's currently in one. And next year, depending on what happens with D'Angelo Russell, some other guys, they might have a roster spot. And if he continues to play the way that he did tonight, I mean, there's no reason for the Wizards to not bring him back and maybe even think about converting him. And I don't want to overreact again. It's his third NBA game. He's had moments where he's looked awesome. Again, there's been rookie moments as well. But those were few and far between tonight because he was efficient, he was aggressive, and he was a really impressive rebounder on both ends, man. Just so cool for him. He worked his way into the league undrafted, grinds through the G League, and then comes into the NBA and just makes his mark by doing what he's always seemingly done in his career. And that's by working hard, grabbing boards, and then being rewarded for it on the offensive glass by drawing fouls, making his free throws, etc. Kind of a grinded out center. I mean, you sort of need those. And I don't know who made the point. If you're listening, you know who you are. He's sort of the opposite of Vucevic. Like Tristan's awesome offensively, incredibly gifted scorer, great shooting touch, but he's not the greatest defender, and he's not a good rebounder for his size. Now, Reese isn't going to be able to shoot the three like Tristan does. He might not even be able to shoot the mid-range or the floater like he does. But he's going to rebound unbelievably well, way better than Tristan. He's going to be a much bigger presence inside on the defensive end than Tristan is. And so I think, honestly, that's two bigs that complement each other quite well. And if you have those two as your backups behind Sarr, behind Davis, I like it. And so, again, don't want to overreact. It's three games. But I'm going to allow myself to sort of do so because, I mean, this is just unprecedented. I mean, since 1993, a rookie hasn't had that many rebounds since 1993. It's the first 20, or I think it's the first Wizard to have 20 rebounds since Kyle Kuzma did in 2022. He had like 27 points, I saw, and 22 rebounds, which is, I mean, I didn't even remember him having that stat line. I'm sure I posted about it. But Julian Reese was phenomenal, really earning his spot on this team. He's going to play a bunch towards the end of the season. I wouldn't be surprised if AD doesn't play the rest of the year. Again, wouldn't be surprised if Sarr doesn't play much, if at all, the rest of the year. Tristan's still hurt. Like, this is going to be an awesome opportunity for Reese. And if he continues to play like this, taken in stride, who knows what his role can be on this team next year. So really enjoyed what I saw from him. And then obviously I mentioned that I wanted to talk about Trey Johnson. Again, you can talk about his scoring, 15 points on 5 of 13 from the field, 5 of 9 from 3. It's not like he had been getting different looks than these ones. They were open looks, and he probably could have made more than he did. But he found his rhythm tonight, and you got to hope that he builds on it as well. Just 20 minutes again, so still on that minutes restriction. I don't believe he played in the fourth quarter, but I also like what he did on the glass. I mean, eight rebounds is really good for, what is he, a 6'5" guard that isn't really known for getting his nose down there in the paint. So I enjoyed that, but I more so enjoyed seeing him make some threes. 5 of 9 is an incredible clip. Even for a guy as good as him, it's still impressive. And it was nice to see. He was shooting 21% in the 9 games since he returned from injury from three. And tonight, obviously shooting above 50% on a pretty high volume was really encouraging. And you obviously have Will Riley off the bench, 13 points, 4 of 10 from the field, made 2 threes, got to the line, really enjoyed his performance as well. He's got that pivot pretty much on lock, made his first 2 threes, 0-4 since, but that's okay. And honestly should have made his first three, stuck out his leg on a three, which he didn't need to do. But again, he's just showing that creativity, showing, just the development that he's made, the strides that he's made in such a short amount of time as a rookie. So again, he was great, and I don't want to not talk about it just because he's been great the last couple of games. And then also, like, there are some times where you watch a game, and you don't think that a player was that good, and then you look at the box score, and you're like, am I just box score watching? I didn't think he was that good enough to look back. Bilal Coulibaly had 17 points on 7 of 10 from the field, made 2 of his 4 threes. I mean, 3 steals as well. I didn't, right hand up, I didn't think he had 17 points. I can tell you that. I could tell you he had 3 steals because he was a menace on the defensive end, and he probably could add more. The amount of deflections he probably had is insane. But again, it's another instance of a really good showing from Bilal. And especially, you know, he had a really good game a couple of games ago against Houston with those 23 points, and then doesn't make a single three against the Orlando on a second of a back-to-back, 3 of 12, just 6 points. Not a good showing for him. But to bounce back tonight against Utah with 17 on efficient shooting, it's been tough for Bilal to stack a lot of these games consistently. And you thought after that poor shooting performance against the Magic that maybe this is going to be the same case. But it was nice to see Bilal sort of bounce back with 17 tonight. Other than that, some minor things. Sharif Cooper barely played tonight. He had been pretty good the last couple of games. Again, I don't know if it's just trying to get others minutes, but he only played 4 minutes, I believe, in the second quarter, so not a lot. Apart from that, quiet game from Jaden Hardy, just 1 of 7. That's after a pretty good game for him against the Magic. Bob, 15 minutes. Again, that's a really low minute allocation for him. With Trey coming back, obviously, you know, Bob was starting at point guard. He's now off the bench, so I get it. Just 7 points, made 2 of his 3 threes, so not too bad for his standards, but again, not great. Pretty quiet there. Then the Champagne DMP as well. So again, we discussed a lot, but overall, I enjoyed Trae Young's debut. You're gonna see this a lot, I think. You know, he plays, you know, his regular minutes allocation in the first half. You see him for a regular stint of minutes in the third, and then he just doesn't play fourth quarters, and that's actually good as well for the Wizards when they're trying to, you know, not win games. But at the same time, really enjoyed what I saw from him, but mainly his vision, his playmaking. Just thought he made, you know, he obviously, you go into this thinking he's going to make his teammates better, but you don't realize how much better he's going to make them. And the amount of quality shots, open looks he got them for, is awesome. He also does this thing in the pick and roll where when he drives in, he has the defender sealed. He'll like jump in the air and he has like 4 or 5 different options. Like he can shoot, he can pass it off to the roller. And then he also allows him with his vision to just like, he can dart a pass behind his head to the opposite side. He had a bunch of behind the back passes. Some worked, some didn't. Still really cool. His best play, honestly, was one where he caught it on the wing, pump fake to get his defender in the air, and then dribbled in. And there was an open shooter in the corner, and his defender was sort of cheating in help coverage. And to get that guy off and put him in no man's land, Trey faked a behind-the-back pass to get that defender to stick with the corner shooter, and then was able to create space and go in for a contested layup left-handed that he made. And pretty tough shot, but like that's what he provides. That spark, just the ability to play make, be a floor general, and even in limited minutes, even with not the greatest 3-point shooting, you saw that playmaking ability tonight. Other than that, I don't really have much to add. It was a fun night, honestly, and a really good night for the Wizards. You have Trae Young return. Will Riley and Trey Johnson look great. Julian Reese has a near 2020 game. And the best part is that you lose, right? Utah wins 122 to 112. The Wizards made a little bit of a run. They cut it, you know, to single digits. It was pretty close towards the end. But Utah made some big shots. And obviously, at the end of the day, you know, it is a tanking battle, and the Wizards were able to come out victorious by losing in this one. They have 16 wins. They're now 16 and 46. They've lost 7 in a row. The Utah Jazz improved to 19 and 44, and win the first of a two game series against the Washington Wizards. With that, the Wizards are, I believe, only 2.5 games up on Utah in totality. But overall, the Jazz have 3 more wins. And I know a lot of people just look at it like you should count wins and losses when you're looking at it. To me, the wins are so few and far between that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at how many wins does a team have? Because I don't know if the Wizards can get to 20 or 21 wins. And Utah, I doubt that they don't win 3 more games for over the last 25, 26 contests. You know what I mean? So I'm looking at wins. And the way I look at it, the Utah Jazz have 3 more than the Wizards. So do the Pelicans. And that's pretty good for Washington. And a loss obviously keeps them closer to a bunch of other teams like Brooklyn, like Indiana, and like Sacramento that have just 1 and 2 more or 2 fewer wins, sorry, than Washington. And they're going to get some help tonight, okay? Because It's the second quarter, but the Kings currently lead the Pelicans 48-47. Kings are at home. Again, that's a win-win scenario for Washington, but I honestly think that the Pelicans are trying. Like they say, they want to make the play-in. So that's a spot I think that you want the Kings to sort of steal a win. And if that's the case, then the Wizards are only one game back in the win column of being the NBA's or tying for the NBA's worst record. So if the Kings can sort of hold on to that narrow lead, I think that would be optimal for Washington. But as it stands, they're in a really good spot, I think, in the tank standings. And this loss to Utah was sort of the cherry on top of what was honestly a really fun night inside Capital One Arena. So there'll be more from Trae Young. And next year, he'll be probably playing regular minutes. But for the time being, he'll be limited, and you'll start to see sort of a glimpse of him. He'll shake off some rust. And I think game by game, you'll start to see more of the tricks he has, more of the better, shooting efficiency-wise from Trae. Again, Julian Reese was fantastic. I mean, I sort of run out of sort of like adjectives to describe it, but I mean, just a gritty performance, really worked hard and really happy for him, a guy who grinded his way to this league on a two-way deal now and is really making the most of it. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Wizards podcast. Wizards fall 122-112 in a really big loss to the Utah Jazz. They have a couple of days off in between games, and I believe their next contest isn't until Sunday. That's another big one, 7 p.m. In New Orleans to face the fellow tanking, I guess not tanking, but fellow bad team Pelicans. So again, that could be another big loss for the Wizards, and they start that gauntlet, right? That like we've talked about. After these two quote winnable games where they play Miami, Orlando, Boston, Golden State, Detroit, Oklahoma City, New York. Like that's eight games. And I think I would be surprised if they won any of them, if they were competitive in any of them. And so you could be looking at, honestly, based on if they lose to the Pelicans, you could be looking at them tying a franchise record 16 game losing streak by the time they head to Utah to face the Jazz on March 25th. But that's a real possibility. And we'll see how it all plays out. Obviously, they can win some of those games, but that's gonna wrap it up for this episode of the Wizards podcast. Thanks for following along. Thanks for liking. Thanks for engaging with the pod, with the tweets. Nights like this make me really appreciative, especially when a lot of people are engaged with Wizards content. So hopefully you enjoyed this episode. Hopefully you enjoy the coverage. But that's gonna do it for this episode. You'll hear from me next Sunday when the Wizards face off against the Pelicans. Thanks for listening, as always. Go Wiz.